name, of course, is Warren Johnson.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now. What is your name?
Yeah, as always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Facone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
You know, you got a back nickel.
I don't really know us like you think that you do.
I'm Ryan Isley.
What is he doing?
Oh, my God. Is he the third man?
He's the third man.
What the hell is going on here?
Straight Shooters is, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Maniacism.
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Hal.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
What's up, ladies and gentlemen out there in internet land? My name is Warren Johnson, and I'm joined, as always, by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Pacone, the Philly voice and the Philly influencer. And you're listening to episode 226 of the Straight Shooters on a whole boatload of platforms out there in internet land, as I mentioned earlier. You can find us all over those platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, etc. Rate, review, subscribe to us there, please. But before we get into our tonight's episode, which is going to be a doozy, got a lot to talk about in this episode. We're going to talk about some AEW. We're going to talk about some WrestleMania venues in the future. We've kind of had this conversation in the past, but some news came out recently, obviously. So we're going to talk about all that on tonight's show, episode 226. We got a fun episode ahead of us, another fantastic episode ahead of us, as always. Before we get into the episode, I got to do my weekly check-in with my guy, main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Pacone. How you doing tonight, my good brother?
I'm doing good. And speaking of WrestleMania, we almost had WrestleMania breakout on the ice at the Flyers game. I love when everyone does that segue into speaking of certain things. But the Flyers are now in Florida playing the Panthers, and we're recording this towards the end of the game. The Flyers have a 5-2 lead. And there was just a melee, and JVR was unhappy with the hit. So they're brawling a little bit. We don't really see you fighting in hockey much anymore, and I'm okay with that. But we just saw something, a little WrestleMania, pre-WrestleMania action going on down in South Florida, where WrestleMania is going to be this year, actually.
Well, yeah. Well, South Florida is not this year. Tampa's more like North Florida, Central Florida.
Well, I meant down south in Florida.
Okay.
I missed words, and that's not good when you're a talker. You can't miss words, and yeah, I missed words.
Yeah, that's sad, man.
So hopefully that I got the missed words out of the way early this episode.
Yeah, not South Florida. Tampa's, like I said, more like Central, North Central. That makes any sense.
It's still a bad sports city. So.
Wow. Sorry to all our fans in Tampa.
I mean, I'm not. But
I don't know how many we have down there. But
if any Tampa Bay sponsors are listening to this right now that are looking for podcasts to sponsor, call me. We'll talk.
Yeah, please, because we'll take your sponsorship money, and I promise that Nick will not trash your city anymore. That would be ideal.
I will not trash the city like the Phillies did in 2008.
Wow, you're just doubling down on this. Yeah. There goes all of our Tampa listeners. I don't know how many we had, again, but however many we had, they're gone now. Thank you. Thank you for that, Nick.
Anytime.
You're doing the Lord's work on this podcast. The Lord's work. So like I mentioned,
I do what I do.
So like I mentioned earlier, we got a lot to talk about. It's been a lot going on in wrestling this week. A lot going on in general. You know, I just came back from vacation. I was in New Orleans last weekend for my birthday. Turned a big 3-1 on what day was that? Sunday. I forgot what day it was already. So turned a big 3-1. I was in New Orleans having a good old time, as you can imagine. I actually got a chance to sit down and watch some XFL football even too. That was pretty good. So had a good time, but I'm back in on the grind here, back in here in Philly. It's a little bit colder, obviously, but it's nice to be back home. Nice to be, you know, home is where the heart is, as they say, right? That's what they
Absolutely.
Say. And, you know, that home is good.
And now you're further away from Tampa Bay.
Look, I don't know what has gotten into you about Tampa Bay. We beat them one time in the World Series, and now you're like just trashing them. They do have a terrible stadium. the baseball stadium, at least.
yeah, the baseball stadium, the stadium that WrestleMania is going to be at. It's not the terrible stadium that Vaughn mentioned.
No. Raymond James Stadium, much better than
Tropicana Field.
Indoor baseball stadium in Florida. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. But
splitting a season up between Tampa Bay and Montreal would actually be an improvement. But
are they doing that next year?
I don't think it's actually happening. I know there were talks, but I don't know if it's been official yet. Oh, maybe they're still talking about it, but nothing official this upcoming year, at least.
Time will tell, I guess. I'll look into that a little bit more. But it's been a busy week. Lots been happening in the world of wrestling. But specifically in the Wednesday Night War. But I have a declaration to make in the Wednesday Night War.
This is crazy. This is crazy. I can't believe you're going here on February 13th, 2020.
Mark it down.
Wow.
Time, 9:39 p.m. Thursday night. Going military time, that would be 2100 hours. Yeah, 2100. Right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, they don't do the 39 or anything like that, right?
They might. But okay. I'm not going to do that. 2,100 hours. The Wednesday Night War is over. All right.
I cannot believe this.
I am calling it in favor of AEW. Like, you would do, you watch elections and certain networks call it before it's really technically over. Yeah. But the person that is going to win has, a significant lead it's just about done, they're going to win. They will call it. It's like CNN has ruled, like a presidential election, they'll rule certain states in favor of the, whatever candidate. So Ohio in favor of so-and-so. Well, I'm ruling the Wednesday Night War after not even 6 months. It's AEW's, it's their time. They won. It's over already. Here's the thing. Here's why I say this. It's not because NXT is a bad show. That's not the case at all. So both shows are really good. Don't get me wrong. It's that from a rating standpoint, the war is over. AEW is going to be a higher, more viewed show than NXT. It's like we might as well be done comparing. It's AEW won that aspect of the war. Will they have better shows week in and week out? Probably not. They'll have some good shows, better shows than NXT. NXT will have better shows some weeks, but I think the ratings won't really reflect that. I think the ratings will stay steady and that AEW will routinely beat NXT in the key demographics and, of course, total viewers, which has been done since, I don't think NXT has pulled off a win in this war since December. We're in February now. And I know, the war isn't even 6 months old. It started in October, and here we are in February. And like I said, it's only, 5 months? November, December, January, February. It's 4 months. 4 months, but it's done. AEW saw its audience, its viewership actually go down this week from 928,000 to 817,000. And that's a pretty big drop. And still, they haven't topped 1 million viewers since October 16th. But they still beat NXT, who only clocked in at 757,000 viewers. And on top of that, AEW has seemingly hit a stride from a creative standpoint where you have multiple people, and I tend to agree that this week's show was probably the best show they've produced so far in the 4 months that they've been on the air. And I don't think they're going to, like I said, hit home runs every week. I think NXT will have a share of home runs too. And don't forget NXT, great wrestling. I think they take their time more than AEW. AEW is trying to make a splash every week because they should. But TakeOvers is where NXT really puts a stamp on the map as a promotion or a brand, I should say, to be reckoned with. The TV's generally good, but they don't always knock your socks off. But generally good. Better than Raw and SmackDown, for sure, where they can be decent and awful some weeks. NXT consistently good. But if AEW has found his footing creatively, they can keep the momentum going. NXT ain't going to gain any viewers after that. To me, and we said this from the very beginning, AEW was going to have good viewership, mostly because of the curiosity. It's still the new thing that people are interested in. It's the interest amongst the fans is more than peaked, because it's still, I say peak, P-I-Q-U-E-D, not peak like a peak in a mountain. It hasn't
peaking through a hole.
No, not that neither.
Not being a creep.
Yeah,
that's not what you're talking about.
Out here. But because it's still so fresh, so new, and it's live, and you know you can't watch it. Like, you could probably watch a replay, but you can't watch it on WWE Network after that. It seems like most people are watching AEW Wednesday nights because that's the new, fresh product. And they'll catch NXT another time. That's not really knocking against NXT. It's just AEW has the juice right now from a Wednesday night standpoint because it's just so new and fresh, and it feels like a breath of fresh air. Whereas NXT, as good as it may be, still feels familiar. And we said that weeks ago. We said that months ago, where this whole thing first started. It was like, NXT is gonna feels familiar, so you can afford to miss that happen as it, you know, you can afford to not watch it as it happens. With AEW, feels new, it's different, and you gotta watch it as it happens because you don't want to miss out potentially on something new. So yeah, it's done. It's over. AEW has won the Wednesday Night War already. I can't see how NXT, unless one or both of the brands take dramatic shifts, you know, in direction, how NXT can not only beat AEW, but beat AEW on a weekly basis. I just can't see how that happened.
How many weeks did WWF lose to WCW in the Monday Night War?
83 weeks.
That's also
a totally different situation.
I'm not going to disagree that it's a different situation, but I don't know about declaring a war over when we haven't really seen, you know, the whole Survivor Series inclusion with NXT was like storyline based. So we didn't see a huge shift in like philosophy and having Raw and SmackDown stars on NXT every week. You know, here and there, they've been there. Charlotte Flair, the storyline now with her and Rhea Ripley will kind of lend her, I think, more to NXT heading into WrestleMania. So maybe that's a way to build that NXT audience from week to week to week, possibly. So I don't think a war could be this specific war can be declared over until you see a move like maybe NXT switches nights, or you see a dramatic shift in philosophy to where you have just as many stars on there as you do Raw, SmackDown, like that the casual viewer knows that will may or may not tune into NXT. I don't know if you could say on February 13th, 2020, that the Wednesday Night War is over.
All right. So if they move to a different night, that's the end of the war. The whole point of the war.
Yes.
Okay. I don't care who they get on NXT. It won't help them viewership-wise. No one person is like when they first moved, they first did the Survivor Series stuff, that was a novelty. So it was like, oh, AJ Styles on NXT, that's kind of neat. But that's even that, and that's AJ Styles. Like, is Charlotte really going to move the needle to that extent? I don't think so. She didn't a couple weeks ago.
I mean, it also depends on the storyline, and if people are, even the people that aren't a fan of her, like, are interested in the storyline and will still tune in to see what Rhea Ripley does.
You got to also remember when they did AJ Styles on there and the OC, that was after NXT was already on SmackDown. So they had that quick exposure, and it was what they did on SmackDown was put everybody over, and it was great. And then they capitalized on that the next week on I guess they were on Raw too. Were they on Raw too? Because I know they had Raw that.
I know the SmackDown was the first show.
Right.
And it probably filtered over to Raw following Monday.
Right, yeah. Then they did Wednesday NXT. So they had some momentum behind that. You can't do that every time. If you bring main roster people down, or I say main roster people, they're all supposed to be main roster. But you bring people from Raw and SmackDown onto NXT, for one, what happened to the whole brand extension where people aren't supposed to be crossing those lines, so to speak? You're already admitting defeat, signed it right there. Unless you start doing a draft, and you start moving people who are on Raw and SmackDown permanently to NXT. But even still, who's gonna really that you can't you? We've already seen these people that you might say. So let's say it's Roman Reigns or it's Bray Wyatt or it's Brock Lesnar. It doesn't matter. They're already on these shows, and these shows, yeah, they get more viewers than NXT, but they don't, that their viewership generally goes down. They're not helping Raw and SmackDown. They're not really, like, you know, drawing. Like, no one person in WWE really helps them draw viewers like that. Like, it's not like it's a collective issue that WWE has. That's a, it goes beyond the wrestlers. It goes to how the show is formatted, how the stories are told, how the show is presented. We talked about the presentation, was that 2 weeks ago now? We talked about, you know, how they shoot the show, all that stuff. That's where it's at. It's not really about the wrestlers. So they can get the New Day, they can get Usos, and they can get Roman Reigns on NXT right now, and they still probably wouldn't outdraw, so to speak, AEW. Because why would they? You can see them on SmackDown right now. Yeah, there'll be some new, fresher opponents, but it's still WWE for the most part. Like, you can still, you watch them on SmackDown, you can watch them on Raw, and it's, you know, but like I said, it's not really even about that. It's about what people want to watch that particular night. AEW is a new, fresh thing. They're going to take that first, live as it happens. They're going to consume that first, and then they'll catch up to NXT later.
Right. It doesn't preclude the fact that you could still have people in AEW jump to WWE at some point. Like, it's things aren't set yet. AEW is still not at that level of where, you know, getting the ones and the two ratings. I'm not sure if they will reach that. I don't know if wrestling, professional wrestling, other than WWE, can reach that right now, and how we consume things. And I don't even know if that many people are interested in wrestling anymore to begin with, to consistently give those numbers to another program that isn't Raw or isn't SmackDown. But I'm with you. I watch AEW first pretty much every week. The last few weeks, I've had NXT streaming on my laptop. I'm watching that on the second screen, AEW on the main TV. And I didn't even really change the channel because I could see everything that was going on. Even the promos, like, didn't really change the channel in case something like crazy happened to hear what they were saying. But, you know, like, that's my habit right now. Obviously, AEW first, just to see, because it's still relatively new. I just think I don't think bringing in, you know, stars from Raw or SmackDown to NXT would be considered admitting defeat, because that wasn't really considered admitting defeat before, when wrestling promotions went head to head, when, you know, TNA signed all these people because they wanted to compete with WWE. Like, that wasn't really considered admitting defeat from, like, that's just trying to take viewers away from somebody else. I think that's the main goal is, but if they were to go that route.
If you have a hot product, you're not moving people to your show. Like, Vince McMahon only pops up on TV nowadays when they're desperate to draw a good rating. If you're moving, like they did with ECW, remember they did it with ECW back in 06, 07, yeah, or whatever it was, when they wanted to pop a rating or they felt like they were struggling, they would send Batista down there randomly. They would send Kurt Angle down. They sent them down to hope the prop to show up. You start sending main, you know, Raw and SmackDown people there. It's like, you need to do something to get these ratings up.
You can also blame Rob Van Dam for that, because he, as soon as he won the title and they tried to build that brand around him, he got suspended and then lost the title. Fair. And I think that was kind of like the catalyst for, you know what, let's send stars down there to try and get a rating if Rob Van Dam's not going to be there. And I think they just kind of kept going with that. Yeah, Ric Flair down there, which is crazy. Like, you know, like, it's just funny. And then you were on Sci-Fi, which was weird to begin with. You know, like, yeah, that whole thing was weird. But, you know, AEW's been, you know, NXT won 1 week and then drew the other or something like that. I don't even know if they won more than
like
one
that. Week. And then they won, I guess they won when they went unopposed, you know, that 1 week AEW kicked off. They haven't won many rounds in this fight.
Like, but it hasn't even been, you said what, 4 or 5 months? Like, I just think it's too early to declare it over, but I think it's a good sign for AEW that they're sustaining an audience. They're not, their viewers might go down, but I think their lowest rating was maybe in the fives or the 600s or something like that.
I can look it up real quick. I just had it up. Yeah.
It's not like they're hurting. It's not like they're declining every single week and by a large margin. You know, 100,000 is a lot to decline by, but you're still in the 800,000s. It's still way above the reported TNT projections that they were hoping for with 500,000 per week. So I think they're, and you're right, in terms of this past week's episode of Dynamite was probably one of their best, if not the best. I did think the previous week, the way they ended the program when Cody was taking those lashes was very good in storytelling and storyline. And then I could still do without all the brawling and all that attacking like Moxley. Like, I get it. It's pro wrestling. That's what happens. But I like to see something different. But they did what they had to do. Their pay-per-view is 2 weeks away. So we'll see what happens at the next, you know, this coming Wednesday. You'll have Cody and Wardlow in a steel cage. AEW's first steel cage match. A lot of people are probably going to tune into that. So looking forward to that. But, you know, NXT, like, you're right. It's a very good program, but it doesn't really move the needle anymore. I think if we weren't used to seeing NXT on the network before it went to USA, we would have maybe more NXT wins in this war. Like you said, we were used to NXT. We knew what it looked like. We knew what it sounded like. We knew what it, we knew the wrestlers, because we saw them every week. And really, it was available whenever we wanted to watch. So if we didn't watch it Wednesday night, we could watch it over the weekend. That's a lot how I got caught up on a lot of things. If I didn't have that, I would probably be tuning or switching the channel a lot more, maybe tuning into NXT a lot more, because I like their group of talent. I think maybe because it has a WWE marketing machine behind it, and I think they're doing a better job in NXT and marketing their guys and girls, and maybe better than SmackDown and Raw has in a long time. I like that group of talent better than what AEW has right now, just because I'm used to what AEW has right now. There's not very many people I haven't seen before. So I think that's kind of where I'm at. I think if NXT wasn't available to us before, you know, the USA Network, it would be a lot closer. But to say it's over, I just think maybe have it play out more. Wait until one side makes a move, if whether it's WWE changing the format of NXT or changing it up. Then I could say, okay, AEW made WWE change a philosophy, and I think that's a huge win for AEW. But until I see that, I don't really declare it over.
So again, so if I heard you correct, until WWE kind of makes a really dramatic tonal shift, it's not really a victory.
For AEW,
that's what I'm saying. So like the 90s, it wasn't really a victory for WCW until WWF started the Attitude Era.
If I was going back to the Attitude Era, pre-Attitude Era, I would say yeah, around that time. That, you know, maybe not say okay, WCW won, like, because they clearly didn't. They're not a company anymore. More
that's true. That's true.
More so, like, I think in 2020, it's going to be hard to put AEW out of business or NXT out of business. Like, that's not going to happen the way it did in 2001 with WCW. I just think that you can earmark, you know, I think the battle's still going on. And until something happens on either side where you can, like, point out and be like, okay, the other program or the other company made this company do that. And I'm not talking about creative. I'm not talking about, like, matches on TV. I'm talking about, like, I said earlier, like a philosophy shift, a program shift on how they're being presented, because they're both 8 to 10 every Wednesday. The NXT gets their overrun. The storylines progress on both shows. The talent's there each week. You know, until something changes, I think we're still in the middle of it. I don't think NXT is going to gain those viewers and start beating AEW, even if Charlotte Flair shows up, or maybe even Roman Reigns. But I think we do see NXT as a third brand right now, but they're keeping their big stars away from it right now. You know, the Roman Reigns, the Baron Corbins. No, I didn't say that. The top stars on Raw, Drew McIntyre, Brock Lesnar, like, they're not showing up on NXT. So I kind of still view them as almost like an ECW on sci-fi type group with just a lot better wrestling and a lot better characters, but there's no like star on there, because like Matt Riddle, he's a star, but until he's on Raw or SmackDown where he has that audience, that $2 million people watching him each week, I, you know, you can't really say much about that. Like, I love them, but, you know, I just don't think, I still think NXT's, and you could label them a third brand, but I still think, maybe not label them developmental, but they're still that smaller brand compared to Raw and SmackDown, clearly.
And that's true. I think if you're going to move some of the bigger names to NXT, I think that you've got to move them there permanently. You can't do the whole cameo guest appearance thing.
Right.
Because
even casual fans are smart enough to know whether it's, you know, if it's not permanent, then why am I even watching if it's not going to,
it's just a revolving segment, it's a revolving door, then you kind of cheapen the brand. You know, I don't agree with that. You kind of touching on earlier, like, is wrestling that, it's, you know, like, popular in the mainstream? And we've talked about it before, and it's just not. But, like, I saw Randy Cruz, and shout out to Randy Cruz, he's a former guest on the show, former friend of the show. He was not aware who Jeff Cobb was when he made his debut on AEW Wednesday night. And I mean, hey, we follow wrestling pretty close, so I'm familiar with Jeff Cobb.
Yeah.
Going back to his days as Matanza, in Lucha Underground, and I've watched him a lot since he was done on Lucha Underground and was out here on the independents as Jeff Cobb. But people were like, well, yeah, he's doing this, done that. And he's like, well, I didn't know. I've never heard of him. Like, I don't know who this guy is. And it kind of got me to thinking, it's like, wrestling, just, there's some people out there, even though, like, you can get so caught up in that bubble that you think everybody is known everywhere.
Yeah.
But they're not. You know? They're really not. And you talked about, like, who could NXT take from AEW that could make it, like, you know, tip the scales in their favor as far as the war. Like, really, like, probably Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, and that's about it. And even then, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, even on AEW, aren't, like, the biggest names in the world. Because you look at the total viewership, they're drawing 817,000 viewers, which is really good, especially for pro wrestling, because ain't no other pro wrestling shows going to do that outside of WWE. But that's just how it, like, you look at it, it's like, that's just where the business is. We're the second biggest promotion in the world, arguably. Definitely in North America, can't consistently get over 1 million views every week. 1 million viewers every week. When you look at the top 50 cable telecast, the original cable telecast on Wednesday, February 12th, and you got shows like Real Housewives of New Jersey drawing over 1 million viewers. And they got a 0.40 in 18-49, or Black Ink Crew Chicago had less than AEW, but that demographic, 18-49, 0.31. You had Sisters on BET, I believe, 1 million viewers. And you got these network news shows like Hannity, Tucker Carlson, 4 million, 3.8 million. Like, Married at First Sight had over 1 million views. I was watching it. I was actually watching it late last night. It was kind of interesting. But it's just, it's something to look at. It's really something to keep an eye on. Just, like, we go crazy in this bubble. We go crazy about certain people. This is the guy's a big star. This is going to, you know, they're going to take over and do this, and they're going to take over the world. It's like, but none of it's really popping right now. I feel like I say the same thing every week, but it's just, it's really not. None of it is really, when you look at it from in the grand scheme of things, outside of wrestling, yeah, it's all right, but it could do so much better. I think, and that goes for both AEW and WWE, could be even greater. Now, AEW is still finding its footing. They're probably just hitting their stride. I don't know if that's going to bring in new viewers, because even as good as that show was, it lost viewers from the week prior. I don't know if that's going to create any new fans at all. It's got them on TNT until, like, 2024 or whatever it is. But is that audience going to grow week to week over time, year to year?
Yeah.
I don't see how it does, because it still feels very much like pro wrestling, the pro wrestling that a lot of people have seen. But maybe I'm wrong. But it's just another sign. It's like, it's just not popping. Like, I don't know. Like,
I mean, some people just hear Jim Ross's voice and they tune in. And shout out to Candace McLean, PhillyInfluencer.com writer, sports, social, and culture writer. She texted me last night saying she had AEW on because she heard Jim Ross, and it brought her back to, obviously, like, she hadn't been watching in years. And, you know, she's saying, like, Jim Ross, one of the greatest of all time. So that's why she was tuning into AEW. She didn't know, you know, the wrestlers or whatever like that. So that's also a reason. And she's probably as casual as they come, you know, like she knows about wrestling and stuff like that. But, you know, there's a reason she had reached out to me and said, I mean, I didn't know AEW had Jim Ross, you know, and so she was like tuning in for that. And there's probably some people like that, but it's not. You know, to me, honestly, watching an AEW broadcast, I don't really watch it for the commentary anymore, because I thought it was kind of cool that they pegged Jim Ross to Tony Schiavone and stuff like that. But, like, if anything's the strength of the show right now, it's the storyline, Cody and MJF. I feel like, obviously, there's going to be that Hangman Page and Kenny Omega split, but Or maybe there's not. Maybe that this is all unpredictable and that's what they're going for. But I feel like they've been teasing it for 8 months. And it's ridiculous right now at this point. The same thing every week with them. I'm kind of over it. But they need to get more creative. You know, I think Brandi Rhodes had mentioned that they just completely dropped the Nightmare Collective just because they knew fans weren't having it. But at the same time, why not just write a story to write them out, instead of just completely drop it with no explanation? People killed WWE over the years for just dropping things without explanation. But now it's okay when AEW does it just because you like the people that run the promotion. Like, I don't get that. I understand the new and wanting to like the new. So you don't criticize it the way you would WWE, because you overlook that a little bit. But I think if you're going to criticize WWE for dropping a storyline without any explanation, the whole Nightmare Collective thing with Brandi Rhodes should be criticized just as much, because that's just kind of ridiculous. But I'm kind of getting into a different discussion when it comes to that. But, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now. It's not like the Nightmare Collective is the reason AEW is losing viewers. It's, you know, their stories that they're building these stories. And I feel like the crowds are definitely hot, so I think that works in their favor. It gets me more into the shows, the matches, you know, the certain angles they do. And I think it's just been more interesting than NXT. And NXT could be doing the same thing, but I feel like, you know, they're the star power compared to AEW. I mean, clearly AEW's got Jericho, Moxley, Cody, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, even MJF's kind of getting up there. So, you know, they have what I'm interested in watching that night, more so than NXT right now.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, when I say the war is over, I don't mean, like, chalk up, I guess I say AEW won, but, like, I'm not saying that AEW should proudly be like this. No, it's just, look, it is what it is. AEW is going to consistently beat NXT in the ratings every week, and here's why. The show is fresher, it's newer, and it's more intriguing right now than NXT. Not to say NXT is bad. It's just that AEW's got the juice right now. They're riding the wave. People ride the wave with them. They're going to continue to ride it for the foreseeable future. And unless, like you said, unless NXT does something super dramatic and people somehow, and it's loud enough and it's dramatic enough that people turn their attentions away from AEW, I don't see how NXT can beat them. I just don't. They haven't beat them to this point. They only beat them like once or twice. And they've had some really good shows in there.
But we've also seen a handful of bad creative on AEW the last few months.
And I think... But that doesn't... Those haven't resulted in losses in the ratings. They still have defeated AEW soundly in a lot of weeks.
Right. So, but that's what I think. With these ratings wins give that sense that to more, maybe not in tune people, but like more people that just look at the ratings instead of the quality of the show. Cause I think there's a lot more people that just look at the number than the quality.
Well, at least.
So I think, you know, they just look at the ratings and they're like, okay, like they kind of brush it off. Like AEW is better and whatever. But, you know, that's where I think we get in that discussion of well, like, I don't want to be that person that's like, well, NXT was better and here's why. I know the first few weeks, maybe the first couple months, NXT definitely, in my opinion, was the better show. And I feel like because it was more polished, there was more, you know, and AEW still hadn't hit its stride, as you put it earlier. But now that they have, we're seeing the creative juices flowing. We're seeing what the live crowd reacts to and the social crowd reacts to. And it's just getting better. But, you know, like in terms of like writing off something, just write off the Nightmare Collective. 2-minute segment. Boom, you're done. Instead of just drop it randomly. Like that's the type of things that I criticized WWE for, not just everyone else. I did. And now AEW's doing it. And that's just where I want AEW to be different. Like they're supposed to be and feel different. Just don't do the same thing that WWE does. And it's all gravy. They need to continue this. I wonder how they're going to come out of their pay-per-view. We'll see how the creative after that happens and what Dynamite will look like then. But, you know, they have a pay-per-view 2 weeks out. I think they're at their high spot creatively right now and going into that pay-per-view. It's their closest pay-per-view to Mania. So I'm sure they want to make that kind of like rival what they think WrestleMania will look like. You know, I'm excited for it. I want to see how they do. It'll be Jake Hager's first AEW match. So I'm looking forward to it. And I think that's part of the reason why we're enjoying their TV show right now and it's hitting creatively because they have that pay-per-view. Now I want to see what they do after it. Because after Full Gear, like going into Full Gear was okay. And then coming out of it was all right. So now maybe after this pay-per-view, it'll be even better.
Hey, take notes, WWE. You don't need 13, 14 pay-per-views every year. Because it might help your booking. Look at AEW. They're doing all right. Speaking of pay-per-views, we know where this year's WrestleMania is going to be. Tampa, Florida. Nick Pacone's apparently his least favorite city in the world. Did not know that. But we also know where next year's WrestleMania is going to be. And to the surprise of practically no one, at least Nick and I weren't surprised if we've talked about it here. WrestleMania will be 37 because they don't even use the numbers anymore. Now, I'm starting to forget what WrestleMania is.
Yeah, me too.
And which is sad because I've always liked the numbers. Next year is just going to be called WrestleMania Hollywood because, yep, WrestleMania is going to Hollywood again. It's going to be at, I believe it's SoFi Stadium because it's short for social finance.
Yep.
SoFi Stadium. You might like be like, what in the hell is SoFi Stadium? That is where the Rams and the Chargers will play next year in Los Angeles. It's going to be brand spanking new. It's going to be, I mean, literally like just broken in by the time WrestleMania rolls around next year. You know, the 2020 season will be done. And that'll be the only thing that's really pretty much happened in that stadium. Unless, I mean, I don't know, they got concerts lined up this year or something like that. But pretty much brand new. It's pretty much what they did with, what was it called? It's Levi Stadium in Santa Clara for WrestleMania 31. Where I think that might have been the first, the season, football season before that might have been the first year of the stadium. I think it was 2014. And then going into 2015, they had a WrestleMania there. So they're pretty much doing the same thing here, SoFi Stadium. And again, not surprised at all. WWE probably wanted to get into the LA for years now, just didn't have a stadium unless they went to the Coliseum, which is, think about the Coliseum, it's a stadium, but it's very, very old. Like, I think it was built like in the 20s, and they haven't done a ton of renovations there, and it was always going to be a temporary location for the Rams, at least, when they moved back there in 2016. That was never going to be their permanent home, so I guess WWE is like, well, why would we go there if we know they're not going to, you know, that's going to be a newer, better, more technology-friendly stadium coming in 2021. You must just hold out until we get to that point. And here we are, 2021, WrestleMania Hollywood. And for 2022, they haven't announced this officially. But I'm going to make a guess right here because we've done this before. It's going to be in Las Vegas in 2022. 2022 at that stadium where the Raiders are going to play starting next season, the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm guessing that WrestleMania 22, which would be not WrestleMania 22, WrestleMania 38 in 2022 will be in Las Vegas. That would be only the second WrestleMania ever in Las Vegas. Of course, WrestleMania 9 would have been the first. So almost 20 years later, back in was Sin City, as they call it, right? Sin City.
Yeah, I would love to see them go back to Caesar's Palace, but they ain't building the arena for like 10,000 people.
Especially when there's a 80,000 seat whatever stadium that's gonna be sitting right there.
Yeah,
that's gonna be brand spanking new, and yeah, it's Vegas. The draft's gonna be, the NFL draft's gonna be there this coming year. It's, you know, there's LA, and I'm, like I said, predicting Vegas 2022. That leaves 2023, 2024, 2025, 2026. We talked about it in the past on this show that we think we're making, I would say, semi-educated guess.
I'd say educated guess.
Okay, educated.
Don't sell us short.
All right, I won't. That 2026 will be the year that WrestleMania finally comes back to Philadelphia. That's just our educated guess. I know I work for the Eagles. I don't have any inside information, though. This is just total guess. And I'm basing that off of the fact, and we've talked about it before, that the country's 250th birthday? Well, we will be celebrating the country's 250th birthday in 2026. We already have an event here, a major sporting event here, already scheduled for that year already, and that's the MLB All-Star Game, which we talked about this
7 years
out. It shouldn't have taken this long to get a baseball All-Star Game at Citizens Bank Park. Correct. But by God, 6 years from now, we're going to get one. Only 20 years after the stadium was built.
Only if the aliens let us.
All right. But think about it. That would literally be, like, we're almost coming up on 20 years of that stadium being built. That's wild.
It was 2004 was when Citizens Bank Park opened.
I thought it was 2003, but 2004.
2004 season. So, yeah, it probably was finished in 2003, really.
Right. But, so, we're in 2020, bro. That's like 17, 18 years ago. That's crazy. Yeah,
a beautiful park. One of the most beautiful parks in MLB. You would think that, especially when the Phillies were in their heyday.
Right.
From 2007 to 2011, but nope.
They didn't get one? That's crazy. Not one. Not even when it was first built, when it was brand new.
The last time they had one was in 96 when the team was incredibly bad.
And it was at the vet. Ricky
Pitalico was the only all-star, and he was our closer.
And it was at the vet.
Yeah.
Like, everybody loves the vet, but it wasn't the greatest stadium in the world. Damn, that'd be 30 years after the vet. That'd be 30 years after the last All-Star game.
Yeah,
that was almost 30 years ago, 1996. Oh my God, we're so old. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's our educated guess as to when WrestleMania is coming here in Philly. So I guess 2022 will be in Vegas.
Vegas, yes.
Like, so cross your fingers, folks.
I wonder, would they, you know, I read Dave Meltzer a little earlier today, who said WWE actually wanted to push going to LA until after the Super Bowl goes there, because then they would want to make the announcement. And whether it be true or not, I could see both ways that their attendance for WrestleMania beat the Super Bowl attendance, and they would do that. So that's why I wonder, maybe I know the Super Bowl is going to Vegas, right?
Super Bowl is going to be, let's look up the future schedule.
I think.
Next year's Super Bowl is going to be in Tampa, your least favorite city, apparently. Yeah.
What the heck? How are they landing this stuff before Philly? I don't get it, but.
Because it's Florida.
Well, that shouldn't be like a.
All right, so here we go. Next year's Super Bowl, 2021, Raymond James Stadium. 2022, year after WrestleMania, SoFi Stadium, LA, California. Then it's going back to Glendale in 2023 with the Cardinals play, Glendale, Arizona. Then it's going back to New Orleans in 2024.
Wow. So Vegas isn't on the slate yet.
But you got to believe that
I'm
when they
surprised.
Open up.
I thought it already was for some reason. I thought 23 or 24 they were pegged. But
I think there were some issues with the stadium the last time around. This wasn't like I don't think there was a smooth transition.
Yeah, I know they choose these cities exactly. Well in advance. You know,
yes.
It's not the way WrestleMania chooses their city like a year out. The NFL chooses their Super Bowl cities many years out. So maybe it'll hit Vegas in 25.
I'm sure it'll hit Vegas at some point. I mean, they got a team, they got a stadium. It's going to hit Vegas at some point. You could probably guess 2025. Like when they open it up again. And announce the next, four or five sites or whatever it is. They do it like three or four at a time, I think.
How funny would it be if WWE wants to wait for WrestleMania to be there so they can announce a bigger attendance than the Super Bowl at Vegas.
I'm telling you, they're not going to wait. They're going to do it in 2022. They're going to get there as soon as possible. Because there's certain markets they want to run that they haven't been able to really run. They haven't been able to go to L.A. for WrestleMania because the city hasn't had a real stadium they really want to run. They have soccer stadiums, but those aren't big enough for WrestleMania. Right, they don't want just 30,000 people. They want 80,000 people. So
probably the logistics for their sets and their trucks probably don't even they're probably not even set up.
I'm sure they could adjust, but it's still the seating. You're not for the one that the Chargers are playing in the last couple of years. I think the capacity is like 30,000. So like if you get a wrestling event there, that might be 35-40. Like
they would have to build a really small stage for wrestling.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Weird. So you just wait for the big. There are other stadiums they can go to that are much bigger. So L.A. represented a market they haven't really been able to hit, and the same for Vegas. They haven't been able to get to Vegas, which is, okay, I understand. So that leaves, again, 2023, 2024, 2025. What cities can we envision WrestleMania being in if, with the caveat, and that's a big if, let me preface this, if WrestleMania is going to be here in 2026. So take Philly off the table in 2026. 23, 24, 25, where do you think WrestleMania might land in those 3 years?
I might be alone in this, but I think Indianapolis is going to land one.
Indianapolis?
So, I do. I know the weather probably wouldn't be as nice as it is in Florida or Vegas or L.A., but they were in Indianapolis for WrestleMania 8 in the Hoosier Dome. So they can go, to Lucas Oil Stadium and, check out Indianapolis again. That would be kind of cool. It's a dome, they don't have to worry about weather during the event. And if it's in late March, early April, it's probably better than having if the Super Bowl will be there in February. So I don't know. I think my whole memory of WrestleMania 8, just seeing people have to say Indianapolis would be funny for me. I don't know.
I don't know about Indianapolis. The stadium isn't brand spanking new, but neither is like a financial field. So, but whatever. Great stadium. Just I don't know. The market isn't huge, but I'm going to go with a different city. I'm going with Minneapolis. Different polis. I'm going to go with Minneapolis. Newer stadium. Very nice stadium, by the way. Obviously, I like the stadium because of what happened there February 4th, 2018. But, no, honestly, it's a very nice stadium. Minneapolis got a lot of wrestling history. The AWA was up there. A lot of wrestlers, big name wrestlers are from the Minneapolis area, claim or call that home. Ric Flair is among them, even though he's like Charlotte, Atlanta guy now, but he's from Minneapolis or that area, Minnesota. Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, of course, Hogan was in the AWA, bunch of guys from that area. So, yeah, I can see Minneapolis getting a WrestleMania in probably 2023-ish. You got any other candidates you want to throw out there?
I think they'll go back to Miami at some point. That they seem to revisit these cities like New Orleans and where there was another one. They just Orlando. They were in Orlando twice in the last 12 years. So definitely Miami, I think, would be something. They could obviously do something with The Rock if they wanted to. So Miami, I would love to have Miami in 2025 and then come to Philly for 2026.
I think Miami is a very good guess for multiple reasons. Number one, they haven't been there since 2012. So if you say 2023, 2024-ish, it would have been a decade plus since they've been there or about
a
decade.
That's crazy.
But we're already 8. That's already 8 years ago. And on top of that, they have since renovated that stadium, Hard Rock Stadium. And they just had a Super Bowl there. As you most of y'all know, that was played in Miami. And they renovated that stadium a couple years ago. So that was a brand new stadium, essentially. So I could definitely see that happen. And that's another market that WWE just likes to hit. They want to hit those Florida cities, especially Miami. That's like probably out of the ones that have a football stadium, probably the biggest one, one with the more glitz and glamour to it. So yeah, I could definitely see Miami. That's actually a really good guess. Miami, yeah. Minneapolis. That's a lot of M's. And I'm gonna go one more. Might require some thought. They might hit. Do they hit Texas again? I don't know if they hit the Cowboys Stadium. Maybe at the Cowboys Stadium. Maybe Houston. They've been in Houston since what, 2009?
Yeah, but they were just there for the Rumble. So would they bring WrestleMania there? So
but that
soon,
was, that
to
was
another stadium?
Park. That was Minute Maid Park. That was the stadium.
I know.
And
they don't deserve
time,
WrestleMania. They cheated. The whole city cheated, damn it.
That's got nothing to do with this at all. But let's say if I'm giving it to, let's say I'm putting in Houston in 2025, that would have been 5 years since the Rumble, you know? That's 5 years from now. So.
But I mean, why not Dallas? Why not that stadium? You say it could be over 100,000. I like the way it looked. The spectacle was great.
That show was trash.
The show was bad. Very bad. So maybe they go back to erase our memories of the last Dallas WrestleMania.
I can see them doing it, but it's like, I don't know. Maybe you saved that big of a show for like once. I don't know. I guess by that point it would be a decade, but like, I don't know. Maybe I guess it could happen. I don't know. I'm trying to think of another potential.
It definitely felt like a WrestleMania. And you could just see so many people. And I love that, WrestleMania. Like, I love it. My first ever show was WrestleMania 6, watching on pay-per-view. So, world, VHS tape. So, I always had a soft spot for those. And that was one of my favorite spectacle WrestleManias, of just the way it looked. Not in the ring, just the way it looked outside.
Hmm. I'm trying to look up just like NFL teams. So I could like think
but it
of
was
their
weird because they, I'm going back to this, they lit up the whole stadium for WrestleMania. But when they went to the Alamo Dome in 2017 for the Royal Rumble, compared to 1997 when they were there, when everything was lit up, they darkened so much in the Royal Rumble. In the Alamo Dome in 2017, that it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth.
Oh,
kinda
man.
Kind of pissed they did that.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
It's on my list of WWE grievances.
I'm sorry to hear that, man. Ooh, I got another city for you that they haven't hit yet while. It's got a new stadium. Go ahead.
Oh, got a new stadium.
Newer stadium.
South.
You got a guess.
No, man. You can give me a clue.
Come on. It's only 32 teams.
What?
I'm looking up NFL teams. I'm saying this newer stadium. It haven't been in a while.
MetLife. Just kidding.
Okay.
Now this is going to bother me because I'm probably not going to get it. But let me guess. Kansas City, Missouri.
No. I'll just tell you.
Go ahead.
Atlanta.
Ah, that's a good market, too, for that, I think.
Yeah.
You could put Goldberg over and win both heavyweight titles.
We didn't even mention Goldberg. Oh, that happened last Friday. I was 1 foot out the city into New Orleans last Friday. Oh,
so if you're listening to this, me and Vaughn are recording this on Skype, and as soon as he said that, he threw his head back. And I think he's in agony right now, just thinking about Bill Goldberg winning the title from The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, at
Super Showdown. If they do that, what a complete waste of the last, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
It'd be so Vince McMahon, though. It'd be so WWE to just squash that momentum they built up with really no, just a random payoff, like Goldberg. Like, no one built up to beat The Fiend. No one built up to that point. No conquering. No, just out of nowhere, it could be Goldberg, just completely out of left field. That, if they did that, wow. Just instead of Roman Reigns versus Goldberg, spear versus spear, and put Roman Reigns over, obviously. Woo!
So,
WWE, y'all just put in so much time, so much effort, production, all those Firefly funhouses, and you would just flush it all down the toilet if you did that. And I understand, it's Goldberg. He's a big star, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and when he first came back in 2016, I was all about it. I didn't think he would be beating Kevin Owens, beating Bray Wyatt for championships, though. That's not what I signed up for, okay? Goldberg is like 55, and sure, he bounced back from his match with Saudi Arabia, had to match with Dolph Ziggler or whatever. That could have been it. All right, thanks for coming. You got a good match in to end your career. Whew. Goldberg and The Fiend at, which is this Elimination Chamber coming up? Or is it a different show? Oh, it's going to be...
Elimination Chamber is in March, so... Yeah, I don't think February had a pay-per-view, just the Super Showdown. So then you have Elimination Chamber in March right here in Philly, and then I believe that's the last one until WrestleMania.
Man!
Let me tell you.
Yes, that Super Showdown.
When they announced that, Goldberg was on SmackDown last week. I was like, okay, like... there's no way that's going to happen. I literally just kind of put it in the back of my mind, didn't think about it. And then I read something online. I forget where I read it, honestly. Maybe it was a tweet or something like that. And it was like, wow, WWE is really going to have Goldberg beat The Fiend just so Roman Reigns can beat Goldberg with a spear. And in my mind, it clicked. I was like, that's exactly what they're going to do. I'm resigned to the fact that that's exactly what's going to happen.
I was in the barbershop, man, because I was getting fresh from my trip. I was trying to get right. And I looked through my phone. I saw that. I was like, no, they did not do this. What in the hell is going on here? By the way, our WrestleMania discussion is over. We're talking about Goldberg. Bruh, WWE. Man, y'all kill me with this stuff. I've never been like over the moon about The Fiend, Bray Wyatt stuff. Like, it's been creative. It's been different. It has been good. But it hasn't been groundbreaking. Like, some people have kind of made it out to be. But you've invested a lot of the time over the last 6 months in this character. You've made this character unstoppable. And to have Goldberg just swoop in, instead of building someone... maybe they face Bray Wyatt and then lose, and they come back and lose, and they kind of try. Somebody tries to figure it out, and he figures it out, and you tell a story where they figure out the weakness of Bray Wyatt and take advantage of it and finally defeat him. That's how you do it. And it doesn't matter who, somebody on that roster. It could have been Roman Reigns. It could have been Roman Reigns, for that matter. I would not have had any issue if they at least got Bray Wyatt to WrestleMania before Roman Reigns beat him. You cannot have Goldberg beat him at Super Showdown. At least get him to WrestleMania. At least get this character to WrestleMania. You've been building this up since last summer. When did he beat Seth Rollins for the title? Like in October?
Whatever their last Saudi show was.
But they had the match. They had the Hell in a Cell though before that. That was in October.
Yeah.
We're talking like 5-6 months of this. You got to at least get him to WrestleMania. Even if it is Roman Reigns, who's there all the time. I really have no desire to see Goldberg versus Roman Reigns. WWE is going to do everything in their power to build it up and make it seem like it's a big deal. You know how WWE is when they want something to be a big deal. They'll have a pull apart. They'll have
shoot promos.
Yeah, they'll do this stuff and they'll just talk it up. Oh, the god of the dude, the king of the spear, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a damn, bro. And that's nothing against Roman Reigns. And nothing against Goldberg. Again, fan of Goldberg. I'm always down to see a spear and a jackhammer. Just not at this point in his career. I'm done with him. I'm done. I don't have to see him wrestle again. I'll go back on the WWE Network, which you're charging me $9.99 a month for. I'll go back and watch old Goldberg in WCW. And watch them spear Bill DeMott and Mr. Perfect. And Raven and Hogan,
Jerry Flynn,
Scott Hall, all those guys. I would watch him spear those guys till the cows come home. I don't really care to see him in 2020. And there's nothing personal against Goldberg, Hall of Famer, worthy of the spot. He's a legend. I'd love to meet the guy in person. Like, I would tell him to his face, "You're a legend, bro."
You would take a spear from him. Right?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
But I have any desire to see him wrestle again in 2020? Roman Reigns, yes. Because Roman Reigns is current, he is talented, he is your top guy, all right? He's your centerpiece. He should be featured. There's nothing wrong with that, all right? Goldberg, I'm just over it. I'm just over it.
Thanks, too.
And guess what? There are so many others that are over it, too. There's a reason why these shows aren't drawing that well. We've seen Goldberg. Even the nostalgia has run its course with Goldberg. We have to do something else. Keep unearthing these guys from 20 years ago. I was in the bar and I was at the airport. I should say, not a bar. Not yet, at least. I was still in the airport in Charlotte, layover on my way to New Orleans. And the XFL game was on. And we talked, oh, yeah, I told him, like, Vince McMahon, you know, he's putting a bunch of money up for the league. He's like, yeah, He's like, yeah, but wrestling kind of fell off, man. Like, I remember back in the day, and he rattled off all these guys from like 20 years ago. I remember The Rock. I remember Mankind. I remember Kane. And I blew his wig back when I told him Kane was the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee. He was like, what? He told his friends, like, hey, guess who a mayor? Guess who a mayor? He's like, who? He's like, Kane. He's like, Knox County. He's like, not my county. But, like, he didn't name anyone from the last, like, 10 years. And I guess maybe that's WWE's reasons for bringing these guys back. But the problem is, they're now 20 years ago. This is not 20 years ago. They're not getting any younger. Goldberg is, I can look it up right now, is at least, like, 53, 54?
Something like that. He it's a byproduct of not building your stars. Then you rely on these names. Like, I would be more okay with bringing these names back if you put them against the stars you've already created
and over the last stars, few years. And those stars beat them.
Yes. Yes. And that's
you cannot have Goldberg beat The Fiend. And again, I am not like.
I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
Sorry, the last run when they did Goldberg Lesnar and we all thought, okay, it's just a one-off, it's Survivor Series, but then they did the Goldberg squash and that whole story that went to WrestleMania, that was about as perfect I think you could have used Goldberg coming back at that age for that story. And then WrestleMania, Lesnar beat him, pretty good match, and that should have been it. So then you come back, Saudi Arabia with a terrible match, then you have to come back against Ziggler to wipe that taste out of your mouth from Goldberg and Undertaker, and now you're gonna put the belt back on him. Like, I
potentially, possibly,
but I would be shocked if they did not do that. Surprisingly, man. Like, gladly shocked, but
I'm just
resigned to it, man. I'm resigned to it because that's what Vince does,
man. It's just like I feel like I've wasted months of my time. Watching SmackDown since
You said it. You weren't a fan of like The Fiend, maybe not a fan, but you weren't interested as a lot of others were because they saw The Fiend as something different for Bray Wyatt. Everyone loves Bray Wyatt, so they thought this character would be special for him. And then you even said on this podcast before, and you've told me that like you weren't really feeling it the way other fans were, but. You're right, and that the answer is not just to, even if you're not the only one that feels that way about The Fiend, the way they've built him up, like he's probably one of the very few that they've used their resources, like you said, and their time and their energy to build up into, you know, what he is now, and you're just going to take that away. That's why when I first heard it on SmackDown, I was like, okay, there's no way that Goldberg will beat him for the title. And then, you know, the next day or two, I that idea is planted in my head, like, holy crap, they're really going to go through with it and do the Goldberg Reigns thing, because nobody thought Goldberg was going to beat Lesnar at the Survivor Series, and then they went with that whole story. So you just kind of accept the fact that we're going to freaking get that again.
Look, it's not set in stone. I'm going to hold out hope.
Yeah.
Keep hope alive, because that's all I can do at this point. Nothing personal, Bill Goldberg, but you can't beat The Fiend at Super Showdown.
When is it?
Can't. I think it's February 27th.
Okay, it's the same week as AEW's pay-per-view, so.
Let me look it up again, because I just had the date up. It was, Thursday the 27th. So, 2 weeks from today, as we record this. Man, that is a lot. And we still got Elimination Chamber here in Philly. It's just WWE. You just can't mess this up. You just can't do it. But and we can't do the show anymore because we're about to wrap it up. I'm tired on that note. I am done on that note. Done with y'all, WWE.
That was of the 5 years, almost 5 years we've been doing this podcast and all the Von Johnson segues, that was the best one you've ever done.
Saddest one.
We can't do the show anymore.
Sad. Tragic.
All right. You can follow me at Nick Pacone on Twitter and follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter and on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/TheStraightShooters and make sure you follow our Patreon, subscribe. We got a great Patreon coming up that's set to drop on tomorrow as we record this, but when you hear this, it'll probably be February 14th. So it's dropping today. February 14th. If you're listening to this in the future, it's already been dropped. So check out our Patreon at patreon.com/shootersradio. It is a live commentary of St. Valentine's Day Massacre 1999, the peak of the Attitude Era. where Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vince McMahon went head-to-head for the first time ever inside a steel cage. It was fantastic. I loved going back and watching it, especially because the match didn't start till like 10 minutes after they started brawling in the crowd. It was a great trip down memory lane, and it's Valentine's Day, so we decided to celebrate a little bit with St. Valentine's Day Massacre. So go to patreon.com/shootersradio and subscribe to hear that for only $1.99. And also check out phillyinfluencer.com and phillyvoice.com for the Shooters Radio episodes.
There you go. And what better way to spend Valentine's Day than to make love to your significant other, to the dulcet tone of the Straight Shooters watching St. Valentine's Day Massacre?
Wait, this is episode 69?
It might be. Let's do it. The dulcet tones of us talking about Vince McMahon and Steve Austin fighting each other in the cage, wrestling each other.
A lot of blood.
Blood, sweat, and tears, passion. Same passion you can exude to your significant other on Valentine's Day.
Middle fingers.
But before or after you do that, did you just say middle fingers? I can't believe you just did that.
Hey,
before or after
they gave
you
each other
that,
the middle finger a lot during that match.
Stop it right now. Stop that. Get graphic. Before or after you express that passion, whatever way you express that passion, maybe even during. Whatever floats your boat. Patreon.com/shootersradio. Drop that $1.99. Listen to St. Valentine's Day Massacre. And cap off your night style with your boys, the Straight Shooters, on Patreon. Patreon.com/shootersradio. I am at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. As always, you can find me there. Or you might be able to find me out here in these streets. I was in the streets of New Orleans last weekend, but I'm back here in Philly. So back out here in these streets again, the mean streets of Philadelphia. But until next time, for Nick McCone, I'm Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to episode 226 of The Straight Shooters. And we'll catch y'all again next week.